go to verse number 18. These verses all have similar ideas. So there is not that much new, because it just shows his eagerness to know and his desire. That's why he keeps wanting. And the Lord, the teacher, does oblige him, as the rest of the chapter will come to that. So we'll go to verse number 18. Vistarenatmano yogam. Vibhutin cha janardana. Bhuya kathaya triptirhi. Shrinvato nasti memritam. Vistaren. Again he says vistaren. In detail I want. I do not want you to just say in 5 minutes, you know, I am Krishna, I am this, and go away. No. I want in detail. Vistaren. Don't leave anything out. Tell me everything there is about you. So he wants to know everything about God. He doesn't want it in brief. Doesn't want a 5-minute discourse or, you know, one lecture, you know. No, I want to know in detail. Atmanah, your yoga and vibhuti. Your atmana means your yoga and vibhuti. And as we have talked before, yoga means me inside and vibhuti means the Lord outside. So I want to know your yoga and your vibhuti. So cha means yoga, cha means and. So yoga and vibhuti, I need to know both. And he calls him Janardana. Janardana is a very beautiful name for God. Jana means people, everybody, the beings. And Ardana, Ardana means the sorrows. So one who removes the sorrows of all. So that is Janardana. So because that is true. When you chant the Lord's name, no matter how sorrowful you are, how miserable you are, or when you read, you know, about his glories, or when you meet with the saints who are the messengers of God, it automatically reduces your sorrow. So that's why he calls him Janardana. He says, O Janardana, O remover of all people's sorrows, please tell me all your yogas and your vibhuti. And Bhuya, Bhuya means again. Krishna says, what do you think I have been doing? Chapter 2 to 9, I have been telling you. You have not heard? He says, yeah, I heard it, but I want to hear again. Kathaya, why should I hear again? Somebody will, teacher say, toh bada bogus student hai, you know, bar bar aa jata hai. You know, he's a hopeless student. I have told him so many times, he still cannot get it. Can't you get it one time? He says, no. I want to know many times. You know why? Not that I have not heard or I have not understood. It's not that. One is, he could have said, I was sleeping, you know, I didn't listen to your lecture, to your discourse, or my mind was wandering. No, I heard it very well, but I want to hear again. Why? Tripti hi shrunvato na asti me mritam. Tripti na asti means I am not satisfied. Tripti na asti shrunvato. Having listened to one time, I am not satisfied. I am not contented. Why? Me means me. I am not contented. I am not satisfied because it is amritam. It is nectar. You know, your words are full of nectar, this sweet joy. And actually, that's what they said when Krishna used to talk, or when he used to even walk, or when he used to play his flute, everybody was just, you know, enchanted by his. So they say your words are so sweet. And not only that, it's like nectar. It is sweet like nectar. Not only that, but it is immortal. Amritam also means immortal. That chanting the Lord's name or remembering his glories or talking about him makes us also immortal. He is immortal. But we also are the immortal being. We are all that immortal consciousness. But in our ignorance, we think ourselves to be this limited being, Anil or Arun or Pankaj or whatever, Anamika, whatever my name I have been given, I think of myself to be this limited being, this limited individuality. But in reality, we are all Amritam. We are all immortal beings who at this moment are playing this role, you know, whatever the role has been assigned. But each and every one of us has that spark of divinity. We are a part of that entire consciousness. So that's what he says, that your words are like divine nectar and they are immortal. And that is true. The Bhagavad Gita was, you know, told 8,000 years ago. Still we are reading it, and still it is still applicable. It is still so practical. Not a single word of this Bhagavad Gita cannot be applied. Any shloka you pick up, any word you pick up, you can apply that in your life from today itself. It's not something that was 8,000 years ago and it is useless. You know, all the teachings of Buddha and Christ, and they're all even relevant today. The Ten Commandments, you know, even, you know, 10,000 years from now, you know, people will still, you know, appreciate the Ten Commandments. So here it shows Arjuna's intense love for the teachings. And one has to have a love for the teachings. You know, a lot of people say, I've heard these lectures so many times. You know, they all say the same thing. I know I have to be good and I have to remember God. Why should I keep coming? These Swamis, they keep coming. It is their job. They come and talk and go. What is the need to listen to them again and again? Because each book, whether it's even the Upanishads, each of them gives a different aspect to this consciousness. This Brahman is so infinite, so vast, that no one book can approach him, no one teacher can teach about him completely, exhaustively. So by reading different books, you get different viewpoints. And it happens that something strikes you more than something else. This particular, like somebody says, oh, Gita, I love. Another person said, I love Ramayana. You know, Ram's stories, aha, ha, ha. And the beautiful way Tulsidas ji has composed those verses, my heart just melts. So another person may say, I like Bhagavat. I like to listen to Krishna stories and I want to. So that same Lord has been described in different scriptures and different epics and different names in different forms. And which one appeals to you, we don't know. So it is good to keep on listening. Also, no one teacher can exhaustively cover this subject. This subject is so huge. And every time you meet a different teacher, I have personally found that when you meet, like those who have come here, or those who I have dealt with, like Vimalji, you know, who is coming this week, and then Swami Ishwarananda, he comes, Prabodhji comes from San Jose, Guru Swami Tejomayanandaji, the worldwide head. They all talk the different subject, but it is amazing how they bring their own personality into it. And it is so beautiful to see how that same Lord is described differently by different people who are actually, you know, doing the same Gita or the same Upanishad, the same verses. So how they interpret, and also what happens is the examples they give are different, the stories they tell are different, their approach is different. And even in the Gitas, we find there are so many commentaries. There is commentaries by Eknath Ishwaran and Prabhupada and Vinoba Bhave and, you know, Tilak, Lokmanya Tilak and Shankaracharya ji himself. So the idea is that each teacher is different, and which one appeals to me is, it may happen that, you know, one particular teacher appeals to you more and you say, oh, I make him my guru. I learned from him. And another one may. So the point is that the more you listen, and also what happens is, there is one very beautiful example was given. Neeru always mentions that whenever she talks about it. She says, like, there is a pond, right? And there is moss on it. You know, Kai, that the green moss. And so you move the moss, and you move the moss, and what happens? You can see the bottom, because the water was, the green was covering it. And so you move the moss and you can see the bottom. And then the moment you take your hand out, the moss forms back. And again you move the moss and again you remove your hand. So similarly, our vasanas are so strong that when we are in contact with these Mahatmas, these Swamijis and these Acharyas, for a while the moss gets cleaned out and the knowledge becomes clear, you know, in the presence of these saintly people. For a moment, it's so clear. And then the moment they leave, we go back to our old ways and we go back to our old ignorance. So इट्स लाइक द खाई दोबारा आ जाती है, काई उसको बोलते हैं ना, दैट द मॉस कम्स अगेन एंड कवर्स योर माइंड एंड देन योर माइंड अगेन गेट्स लॉस्ट इन द वर्ल्ड एंड गेट्स लॉस्ट इन इग्नोरेंस. फॉर अ शॉर्ट वाइल वी सी दैट ब्रह्मन, दैट कॉन्शियसनेस विद इन इन द प्रेजेंस ऑफ दी सेंट्स एंड देन इमीडिएटली एज सून एज दे आर गॉन. सो द आइडिया बीइंग दैट द मोर यू लिसन टू देम, द मोर यू सिट एंड जस्ट चैंट द नेम ऑफ द लॉर्ड, यू डोंट इवन हैव टू लिसन, यू जस्ट सिट एंड डू भक्ति एंड जस्ट प्रे टू हिम एंड जस्ट some you know ladies like to dress the Lord, you know, those who see God as a child, they will take out the statue of the Lord and then take off his old clothes and wash them and then clean him and then feed him and then put on new clothes. Why? Because that for that half an hour or 1 hour they're seeing the Lord as my child, you know, they're loving the child. So the more you spend time in the company of the Lord, in whatever form it may be, you could be doing service, you could be serving the world and thinking about the Lord, you could be, you know, chanting his name, you could be reading good books, you could be in the presence of saints. So he says, do not ever be contented. Oh, bahut ho gaya, you know, I have heard enough, I don't need to hear any more, right? Says the more opportunities you get to meet these saints, take advantage of that. Don't waste this opportunity, because another place Tulsidas ji says, I'll try to remember the exact verse, nidu mangal maya sant samaju jo jag jangam tirath raju. So he says the saints are mridu and mangalmaya. Saints are very sweet and very mangalmaya, they cause all goodness to happen to you. Why? Why are the saints mridu and mangalmaya? He says, jo jag jangam tirath raju, just as sangam, you know, in India we have sangam, where the three rivers meet, Ganga, Yamuna and Saraswati in Allahabad, and that is considered one of the most holy pilgrimage places. And people say when you go and take a bath where the three rivers meet in that sangam, you get purified. So they say, but you know, that Sangam is in Allahabad, it's 10,000 miles away, I have to fly there, it is very hard. So they say, don't worry, these are Jangam, they are moving Tirath. These saints are like moving Tirath sthans. So you don't have to go to Allahabad, because the saints, when they move around, they are the Tirath sthan, Jangam. Jangam means moving. So they are the mobile, as you can call, you know, that we used to have phones that were stuck in the wall. Now you have mobile phones, you can carry them and go everywhere. So similarly, saints are the mobile pilgrimage places. By being in the company of saints, it is like you went to Bethlehem, you went to Mecca, you went to Allahabad, you went to Varanasi, you went to everywhere. So that is the glory of the saints. And why does he say three? You know, why does he say Tirath Raju? Because in Allahabad they have three, right? Ganga, Yamuna and Saraswati. Ganga represents devotion. Ganga represents devotion because it came from, you know, the feet of Lord Vishnu and then came on the head of Lord Shiva and then came down. So Ganga represents devotion. Yamuna represents service because the river Yamuna serves everybody. And Saraswati represents knowledge. So just as the three rivers, devotion, service and knowledge, so these saints have these same three qualities. They have love for the Lord, they serve the Lord and they have the right knowledge. So when you are in the presence of the saints, you get all three. You get devotion, you see them, their service and you get the right knowledge. So that is what Arjuna is saying, that I never ever ever can get tired of listening to your glory. Why? Because your words are like amrit. And he says, triptihi na asti. I am never satisfied. I am never contented. The more I hear about you, the happier I get. The more I hear about you, the more my mind gets purified. So it's like, you know, he's in a bliss. You know, and you can imagine how lucky he must be that the Lord himself is standing in front of him and giving him the 18 chapters. He must have been a very evolved person. He must have been a great person too. And also he had that great devotion for the Lord and he had the desire to know. See, a lot of times we have, you know, a desire, but it's not an overwhelming, burning desire that I have. And in these verses, you can see how much he wants to see the Lord, how much he wants to know the Lord. And that is why the Lord, of course, gave him this message. And then, as you will see in the 11th chapter, he actually showed him his Virat Roop, his entire form of the lad. So that is what the essence of this verse is, that one should have an intense, there is in Sanskrit, there are qualities of a seeker. And one is, of course, Vivek, Vairagya, and Shat Sampati and Mumukshutam. Vivek means the right knowledge. Vairagya means detachment. Shat Sampati means all the six good qualities, you know, Shama, Dama, and all that. And then the fourth and the one of the most important is Mumukshutvam. Intense desire for liberation. Intense desire. Like I said, not pajama-like, you know, like Swami Tejomayanandaji says, our Vairagya should be strong, my desire should be intense, that Lord, I have to know you, know you, know you, and in this life itself, I do not want to wait till next life. Next life, I don't know, I may be made into a dog, who knows? And I may become a monkey, I may become a rock. We don't know what our next life is. I know this life. I know I am a human. I know I have this knowledge. I have this book. I have a teacher like Swami Chinmayananda to interpret. So do not waste this opportunity and make this your main goal in life. That's what the scriptures tell us. And this mumukshutvam, the intense desire for liberation, you can see in this student. And that is how we should also become like Arjuna. That Lord, I want to know you and I want to know you right now in this life. It's a beautiful verses and give us a little vision into the mind of Arjuna. Actually Arjuna, the word Arjuna comes from Arjuvam, which means straight. He was very straightforward. He was not crooked. He was not devious. What he thought, what he spoke and what he did were all one. He was totally very straightforward. And that is important, you know, the straightforwardness, the all those things. And he was a very pure-minded soul. Both. Form and formless has always been there. Yes. Yeah, yeah. Yes, they worship form and formless both. Yes. But because at different stages of evolution, because form is necessary in the beginning, you need to have a form to hold on to. And it is easier, like Hansa was saying, even in meditation. But ultimately, and also form is always with duality. When I worship Krishna or when I worship Jesus, then I'm always thinking of he is separate. But when you see him as formless, as all-pervading, that means then there is, when the moment he becomes formless, then he becomes limitless. There is no limit. And when there is no limit, then he is everywhere and he is me and inside, outside, everywhere. So I think it is the evolution of the seeker. Like in the olden days, that time they used to worship the rivers, like Mother Ganga, they used to worship the mountains. Yes, right, different gods. And they used to worship the sun, you know, the Gayatri Mantra came at that time. So the idea is that you can worship any form of the Lord. But ultimately, the knowledge of the Upanishads has to arise in every being that he is within and without me. He is inside and outside everywhere. So it is a slow evolution, slow progress. But even in the Vedic time, they used to worship the sun god and all that. You know, so they didn't worship the form god with the like Ram and Krishna and all. But they worshiped the sun or they worshiped the heavens, you know, Indra and the rain and, you know, all the celestial powers, the wind, you know, all those, Vayu Devta and all those. I think because the minds are getting more grossified. See, the minds were more subtle in the Vedic times, because in the Vedic times, in India especially, I don't know how it was. First of all, you know, there were not too many people. It was not overcrowded. So there was not, people were not competing, you know, for land, for power, for money. Then also the weather was good and the land was plentiful, you know, so there was enough water, enough fruits, vegetables, enough food. So the competition was not there. But still, even in those days, there were wars and all used to happen. But people's minds were more subtle. And so that's called the Satyug, because of the minds. But then slowly they become more and more grossified. So when the grosser mind, that's why they say in Kali Yuga, the best is Naam Japna. You know, chanting the name of the Lord is the best. In fact, in the Gita, he says, Yajna Naam Japa Yajna Osmi. Among all the yajnas, I am Japa Yajna. Because in this day and age, it is very difficult to meditate on the formless. In fact, Swami Tejomayananda ji said one time, he says, you know, people come and ask me, you know, how, give me all the theories, how I can learn, how I can progress. He says, I just tell them, Ram ka naam lo. Just chant the name of Ram. He said, that's it? Yeah, that's it. This teacher doesn't know. He's just telling me to chant the name. How can... So our minds are so grossified that yajna, just chanting the name of the Lord is... But again, it should not be done mechanically. It should be done with attention. You know, and that when you're chanting the name, think of his form, think of his glory, and think of him as the life within. So it has to be done with attention. Yeah. But the grosser the mind, the more you need a form. It requires a subtle mind to contemplate on the formless. And that's why listening to teachers is very important. Right? No, it's okay. No, just see him as everywhere, in everything. See everything as Krishna. In fact, there was one pilgrimage place Nehru had gone with this Swami Ishwarananda ji had taken. And this, they said, there is this old lady, it was in one of these. So they went to this Chardham Yatra. And one of these places, there was this old lady. And they said, you must go meet her. So they said, why? She just looked like an ordinary lady, not even wearing orange clothes, not saint. So they all went to meet her. And what she used to do, every man who came said, this is Krishna. And every woman who came, she said, this is Radha. So she saw Krishna in all the men and Radha. And so he said, oh, my Krishna has come, my Radha has come, my Krishna. So that kind of, you know, love is not that easy. But there are few saints who can do that. So it can, it slowly happens. I have not reached there too, so don't think. I'm just, you know, practicing and learning also. Om Sarve Bhavantu Sukhinaha, Sarve Santu Niramayaha, Sarve Bhadrani Pashyantu, Ma Kashchit Dukkha Bhartave. Om Shanti 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 Hari Om Shri Gurubhyo Namaha Hari Om.